Welcome back to Swimming Upstream on KWMR. I am Amanda Eichstead, and this morning is the first in a series of programs on this show that will deal with the issue of water. And this morning I have Chris DeGabriel from North Marin Water District and Scott McMorrow from the Inverness Public Utility District on the phone with me here on KWMR. Good morning, Scott and Chris.
Hi, good morning, Amanda. Good morning, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Good morning. Likewise. Thanks.
Good. You sound good there, guys. So, you know, I started to think about doing this series of programs because I was, you know, this was before we got that big chunk of rain, which has sort of helped a little bit, but not a lot. But according to the U.S. Drought Monitor released on January 7th, 28% of California was in extreme drought. And the snowpack is at an all-time low. We've had a record low amount of rainfall. And I thought it would be important to talk with folks from different water districts. And so this week I'm talking with you both from Inverness Public Utility District and North Marin Water, which deals with some of the areas around West Marin. Both of you are working for water districts, which are a special type of agency that's formed under the state. That's correct, right?
That's correct. We're formed under the water code for North Marin. We're a county water district, and we were formed in 1948. I think we started service in the Point Reyes area in the late 1960s.
And Inverness Public Utility District was also formed in 1948. It was a good year.
We're a California special district, and we formed in 1948. With the intent of taking over the water system, which was privately held at the time. And as some of the listeners may know, we're also a fire department. So in 51, we took over the fire department, but several votes failed for the residents of Inverness to try to take over the water system. And we didn't actually start the water system until 1979.
Well, first thing I want to do is, why don't we start with Inverness quickly? So the water that is in Inverness that is used by the Inverness Public Utility District customers who are paying customers of the water district comes from all local sources. You don't have water that's piped in from anywhere else.
That's correct. We get our sources from the Inverness Ridge. There are three creeks up in the Inverness Ridge, so we have surface water impoundments that we use. So it's interesting that you say that because often people will drive past the Nicasio Reservoir and see how low it is. And then think, oh my goodness, Inverness, you know, how are we doing? And we're really a total separate setup than that, as far as well, that's MMWD that has that. So we get our stuff from the streams, and it's pristine water from the watershed. We own some of the lands. IPUD owns some of the lands, and they're surrounded by lands owned by either state parks or, excuse me, the National Park Service.
So that water goes into holding tanks, and then is it treated by you, by Inverness Public Utility District?
Yes. The way it works is we take some water from the creeks, and it goes actually directly to a treatment facility. And then we treat the water with filtration units, and then we put from the treatment facility, it goes into storage tanks in the water system. We currently have a 400,000-gallon capacity storage system in town here.
And how much water, do you know off the top of your head, Scott, how much water gets used sort of every day?
Well, that varies depending upon the season. And it can even vary depending upon the weekends. You know, if we get a lot of people in town or a lot of tourists in town, we like to think of it as we probably have anywhere from 7 to 12 days of storage on hand at any given time.
Okay.
And it's continually rotating.
And does the amount of water coming out of the watershed itself go up and down throughout the year, or is it a pretty consistent amount of water that comes? I mean, clearly when it rains, you're going to get more, but does it drop off drastically in the summer?
It does. The stream flows will drop off fairly well, and you know, we always seem to have enough to meet the needs of the town, but they definitely drop down. And the thing that happens with us is as stream flows drop down, demand also goes up as more people come back into town who might have a second home or outdoor landscaping turns on and things of that nature.
OK. Got it. All right. So, Chris DeGabriel from North Marin Water District. So, we know we drive around and we see these different reservoirs. And really, for North Marin, it's Stafford Lake is the one reservoir that is part of the North Marin Water District.
That's correct. But Stafford Lake doesn't benefit the West Marin systems at all. So a little background, North Marin Water District provides water service to the communities at the base of Tomales Bay, Point Reyes Station, Olema, Bear Valley, Inverness Park, and Paradise Ranch Estates, which is adjacent to Inverness. And our water supply for our West Marin service area comes from wells adjacent to Lagunitas Creek, right in Point Reyes Station, near the Coast Guard housing facility. And those wells extract groundwater and actually underflow of Lagunitas Creek, which is a flow-regulated stream from the reservoirs upstream owned by Marin Municipal Water District. Those are all of the Mount Tamalpais reservoirs.
So the water that we get in places like Paradise Ranch Estates, Inverness Park, Olema, Point Reyes Station is all coming from those wells by Lagunitas Creek. Is it one well or are there multiple wells?
There are multiple wells. We have two that are mostly operating and right there adjacent to Lagunitas Creek. But there's no interconnection between our Novato operations and Stafford Lake and the West Marin system. There's no physical connection.
But there are, from the wells, there is some treatment that happens to that water, correct?
Yes. So the underflow of Lagunitas Creek is pumped out of the well and then flows to a treatment plant where minerals are removed, principally iron and manganese. Then the water is disinfected and flows into tanks similar to the Inverness treatment system. We have several tanks around the community, and it's pumped from the wells through the treatment plant into main tanks at Point Reyes Station, then flows to Olema, where it's lifted again to Olema tank. It's lifted at Bear Valley into some tanks at Bear Valley. It's lifted into tanks at Inverness.
Inverness Park,
and then lifted again up the ridge at Paradise Ranch.
So North Marin water is lifted all the way to the top of the Inverness Ridge.
That's correct.
That's a lot of pumping.
It is, yeah.
And what about, similar to the question that I asked Scott, is there enough water throughout the year from those wells to meet the demand?
Yes. As I mentioned, it's a flow-regulated stream, so there's always water in the stream. Since the wells are located near the base of Tomales Bay, there are periods when we have salinity intrusion, when the salt water from Tomales Bay may impact the water quality. And we've been working on a solution to that for quite some time, and I'm happy to say that we have developed a well up on the Gallagher Ranch, which is out of any tidal influence, and we have just received authorization for a grant, $1.4 million to build a pipeline from that Gallagher well to our Point Reyes treatment plant. So that's really a big deal and great news for our community.
So based on the fact that neither Inverness or the North Marin water systems are dependent on the reservoir level. So as we drive around, we see these reservoir levels go way down. And on a future program, I will talk with a representative from Marin Municipal Water District to get a better understanding about how they move that water around. So sometimes when you see a low reservoir, it may just mean that there's more water somewhere else. But I wanted to ask you both, and you can decide who wants to go first here. When we are in a drought situation like this, what is the likelihood that we, in either one of these systems, will just have to really limit our use of water or may run out?
You want me to go first, Scott?
Oh, sure, Chris, go ahead.
So I mentioned Lagunitas Creek is a flow-regulated stream, and the water year classification is dependent on the rainfall that occurs at the Marin Municipal Kent Lake gauge. And currently we're in a dry year classification. The 15 months between October of 2012 and December 31, 2013, were rainfall was less than the threshold needed to have a normal year. So we're in a dry year condition. There's another threshold coming up on April 1st that could kick it into normal year, but it doesn't look like we're going to get there. So it's very likely that this will be a dry year condition. What does that mean? That means that the flows in Lagunitas Creek will be less than what's in a normal year. And thus, since North Marin has historically had junior water rights on Lagunitas Creek, we were required to go and find an alternate source of supply during dry years. Now we did that by acquiring a portion of the Giacomini Ranch water right when it was purchased by the National Park Service. Giacomini Ranch had a water right of 2.67 cubic feet per second during the summer months, and North Marin acquired 0.67 cubic feet per second of that more senior water right. So that's what we'll rely on in this summer period during a dry year. We expect that on April 1st, we will ask our customers for a 15% voluntary reduction in water use from the prior normal year for the similar billing period. And that's kind of a precursor to a mandatory 25% reduction in water use beginning on July 1st. Now, those thresholds and conservation requirements were developed when we acquired the Giacomini water right, and that acquisition of the water right was protested by environmental groups and Department of Fish and Game. So we came up with this resolution and this recommended conservation program to resolve that protest. And the reason is that during the summer months of a dry year, the stream flow is 25% less than it is in a normal year. So thus, a 25% reduction in water use from the prior year is the conservation target during dry year.
Got it. Now, Scott, what about Inverness Public Utility District?
Well, Inverness is structured a little bit different than North Marin. One of the things that we strive to do is to always maintain flows in the creek for the habitat and the fish. And then based on kind of the responsiveness of our community, which is really great, what we've done in the past, kind of unofficially, is we'll just print out a bunch of 8.5 by 11 signs that say, you know, tank levels are low, please, you know, curtail outdoor watering. And we'll put those up on, say, a Friday. And at the post office and in Inverness, and then up in front of the fire station. And people respond pretty quickly to that. And we have yet to curtail any, in the past several years, we have yet to curtail any, you know, official water use. As a bit of kind of background, in 2008-09, in that rain season, we, IPUD, implemented what's known as a water shortage emergency, a declaration of a water shortage emergency. And what that did was gave the district the ability to officially say, okay, we need people to stop outdoor watering. And it basically is a tiered system to try to ramp down water usage. And in that year, we had a little over 25 inches of rainfall in 08, 09. And it ended up that we never had to implement any of the measures within the water shortage emergency, other than we put signs up on some of the busier weekends at the post office, like I said. This year, we're at about 16 and a half inches to date as of this morning. And we anticipate more rain, although it's hard to say how much we could get. But we could certainly, it's within reality that we would get a total of 25 inches before the end of the year if things go well. We cross our fingers for that. So we're going to evaluate at March 30 and see what the total rainfall is to date at March 30. And then, depending upon what that looks like, we'll ask people to voluntarily cut back for April and May. And then if we don't get the rains, what we anticipate now is in June, at our June Board of Governors meeting, we would ask the board to implement the water shortage emergency, which would give the district the ability to mandate that people cut back. But we're not at that point yet, and we'll have to wait and see how that comes.
So how will this be enforced for North Marin Water District, Chris? These, if we are in a position of making these 15% and then 25% reductions?
Yes. So typically, again, customers will be notified. We do have a website.
You have a great website, by the way.
Opportunities for each customer to review their prior year usage. And we're just now working on an enhancement to that website that would clearly identify this 25% reduction for each individual customer for the billing period in question. And then there will be a list of suggestions on how customers can accommodate that volumetric reduction specific for them. And the monitoring will be by meters and the data analysis that we use. And we're confident that our customers will respond. West Marin customers really have a strong environmental ethic. They don't use a lot of water to begin with, and we're confident that our customers will respond and we'll be able to protect the stream flow, as you know, which is the intent of this, as is it is in Inverness, and to provide all the water necessary for our West Marin service area this summer.
Well, let me ask you both a question. I know, Chris, you need to take off pretty quick here to get to a meeting, but you know, with the media statewide and the low rainfall and the larger issues of drought sort of in the Central Valley and other sort of larger agricultural areas, which I hope to touch on in a future program, I mean, is it something that people should be doing right now to really conserve water at this time? Is that going to help in the long run?
For Inverness, it would have no impact on our supply. People could conserve, certainly, if they choose to. But because of the structure of our system, you know, the 400,000 gallons of storage, mm-hmm. it's kind of a use-it-or-lose-it system.
That's what I was wondering.
One way to think of it. And although people certainly could start to conserve if they wanted to get used to, you know, bathing every other week or something, it wouldn't increase the supply later on in the year. What we look at is, what are our supplies going to be next September and next October? What does mm-hmm. that mean for us? We feel confident that we have enough water to get us through the summer. We may have to ask people to cut back on the weekends or take some measures like that, depending upon what the total rainfall is. But to conserve today, to say I'm going to conserve, it will reduce your water bill, but it will not increase the supply in September.
Got it. What about North Marin water, Chris?
Very similar. Again, it's that flow-regulated stream. So the water is there. We're trying to do the right thing by enacting a voluntary stage beginning on April 1st to make sure that customers are attuned to to the request and can prepare, the 25% reduction is really what we'll be looking at closely, and that, again, is directly related to the reduced stream flow during the summer months that we have to accommodate. One of the things that's interesting is that this is the first dry year that will have occurred since the water right order was issued back in 1995, stipulating these new stream flows in Lagunitas Creek. So there's a little unknown going into this, and a big part of that unknown is how it's going to affect the salinity of the water supply during these periods. We do try and operate our wells to avoid any salinity intrusion from Tomales Bay, but this will make it even more challenging to do that in this summer.
And when you say stream regulated on that creek, is that regulated from Nicasio Reservoir?
It's actually regulated from Kent Reservoir.
Okay.
Marin Municipal must maintain certain stream flows at the Sam Taylor Park stream gauge with releases from Kent Lake. So there's not only natural stream flow that enters the creek, but there's also releases from Marin Municipal's Kent Lake to maintain that stream flow in Lagunitas Creek.
So we are really connected to Marin Municipal Water District in that sense.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. And if those reservoirs go way down, what if they can't meet their required flow?
Well, they're looking at that, whether they would petition the State Water Resources Control Board for relief from maintaining those in-stream flows that are now dictated under their water right order. But I don't think that will occur. I think these most recent rains have provided them with sufficient storage that scenario can be avoided. At least I'm hopeful of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. Well, we'll be chatting with somebody from Marin Municipal Water District in the future program, but I found this very interesting for just better understanding where our local communities get their water. And next week I'll be talking with folks from Bolinas and Stinson Beach to get a better understanding about their water systems. So hopefully folks will tune in to Swimming Upstream, no pun intended. That's just the name of the show.
That's really interesting, Amanda. I'm going to listen in. So thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Chris DeGabriel from North Marin Water District and Scott McMorrow from the Inverness Public Utility District for giving us this good word. And one thing I was thinking, Scott, is that if everybody did stop taking showers in West Marin, that could definitely have an impact on the, you know, weekend recreational visitors.
Well, no comment. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate that. And Chris, it's always great to hear from you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you both, and take care. And we may be following up with you again later this summer as conditions change.
Absolutely.
All right. Take
Bye.
Care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You are listening to KWMR, Point Reyes Station. I am Amanda Eichstead. This is Swimming Upstream, and I'm continuing this week with a series of programs talking about water, really West Marin water for the most part. And last week I spoke with Scott McMorrow from Inverness Public Utility District and Chris DeGabriel from the North Marin Water District. And today I'm going to be chatting with Jennifer Blackman, the general manager of the Bolinas Community Public Utility District, and Ed Schwartz, the manager from the Stinson Beach County Water District. And Ed is here with me in studio. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Amanda.
Thanks for coming in.
Oh, you bet.
And we have Jennifer Blackman on the telephone. And good morning, Jennifer. You're on the air on KWMR.
Good morning.
Thank you both for taking the time out. It was really interesting last week to talk with Inverness Public Utility District and North Marin Water about their West Marin services, which are separate from their system that they serve Novato, and to learn that there isn't a great deal of storage, and up until right now and until in the future, they haven't yet put any restrictions on water use in the northern part of West Marin. However, in my research and looking at both Stinson Beach information and Bolinas, you both have already instituted water rationing in your district. So first I want to do is just ask you both separately, and I'll start with you, Jennifer. For Bolinas, where does all of that water come from that serves the Bolinas community?
Well, first of all, I want to make one small correction, which is we are not yet in mandatory rationing.
Oh, you're not. Okay.
No. We are, our board of directors in January implemented a heightened voluntary conservation alert where we asked our customers to reduce consumption. It's on a voluntary basis by 25%. And we do have a program whereby mandatory rationing would be triggered based on a number of criteria, but I just want to be clear we're not quite there at this point. But as for where our water comes from, our primary water source is the Arroyo Hondo Creek, which is in the national park, as a matter of fact, in the Point Reyes National Seashore. And we also have two emergency reservoirs. We call them Wood Rat 1 and Wood Rat 2, which store about 54 acre-feet of water for us.
So 54 acre-foot of water will last how long?
Well, that depends on our rate of consumption.
Right.
And we made a lot of calculations based on the information we had available to us at the time in January in terms of the amount of rainfall we had received to date and the projections that were then in place for additional rainfall for the 2014 winter. And we made the determination that we needed to see consumption come down by 25% in order to know that we could preserve that stored water supply as long as possible and be able to use it in the summer and fall months when we weren't expecting any rainfall at all. But since that time, since we implemented the heightened voluntary conservation alert, we've received another 9.2 inches of rain. That's up till today, not counting what now comes in today and from these storm systems. And we were able to collect about another 4 million gallons into storage in our reservoirs. So we're definitely in better shape as a result of the rains earlier this month, but we're still significantly behind in rainfall totals.
So at this point in time, you're just asking for people to voluntarily be conservative and be cautious about their water use. But at any point in time, the board can decide to put into place the conservation measures.
You mean the mandatory?
Mandatory, yeah.
That's right. And I do want to commend our community, which is our community members are always incredibly responsive when we put out a call for reduced consumption. We actually saw our consumption across the district decline about 30% after we instituted our call for the conservation alert. So we're very grateful to our community members and to everyone for taking such strong measures to conserve. It's been wonderful.
Thank you, Jennifer. Now, Ed Schmidt, not Ed Schwartz. I was thinking something else there, is here in the studio from the Stinson Beach. Now, so, Ed, what's happening in Stinson Beach, and where does your water come from?
Well, our water comes from basically groundwater. About 75% of our water comes from wells, and about the other 25% comes from local creeks. And, of course, as we know, the local creeks have pretty much dried up. And we are in a little bit different situation than Bolinas in that I think you know this already. We, at the last board meeting, which was held this last Monday, we initiated water rationing, and it'll be a reduction from people of 20%. Right now, the average is about 150 gallons a day per residence. So we're asking people to bring that down to 125 gallons per day per residence. And we know that just in the short time that we talked about rationing, which was about the last 3 months, people have already reduced their consumption of between 40 and 45%. So, like Bolinas, our customers really respond to the request, and it's been very, very positive so far. I did, if it's okay, Amanda, I did just want to mention one point here about the district and probably Bolinas as well, in that we're so vulnerable over here because we're unlike almost every other water agency in the state. Almost everybody else has a contract amount of water from a large water wholesaler, like Sonoma County, for example. And so they have pipelines going all over the place. In fact, last night I heard that East Bay Municipal Utility District was buying water from Placer County. Now, they're 150 miles apart, but they're able to do a water transfer through all these pipelines, and we just don't have that. So we're especially vulnerable, and I know that Bolinas, as well as Stinson Beach County Water District, is well aware of that. And that's one
of the reasons.
It's
really the situation in all of West Marin, and even with North Marin. And Chris said that, you know, he realizes that West Marin customers are very responsive, just like what Jennifer was saying with Bolinas and what you're saying about Stinson Beach, that, you know, we get the word and folks really do take it seriously about conservation. And really the impetus behind this series is to really get folks to understand about where this water is coming from and really understand. I mean, I like to do things that make a difference, such as conservation and recycling and things like that, but it's really helpful when there's a larger context. And the fact that neither Bolinas or Stinson Beach or really anywhere up here can just like open a pipe and get more water from somewhere else is interesting. Now, I wanted to ask Jennifer, when was the Bolinas district founded?
Well, our district as it exists today was founded in 1967 when two previously existing districts in Bolinas were merged into one. We used to have a district that served the Big Mesa and a separate district that served the downtown area. And they, as I said, were merged in 1967 into the Bolinas Community Public Utility District.
And it's it's a district that's formed under the state of California. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is that the same for Stinson Beach, Ed?
Yes. Although we started in 1978 when the Stinson Beach was formed, the county water district anyway, and purchased a private water system. So since 1978, we've been in the process of upgrading a system, including building a lot of new water lines and a new water treatment plant also.
Were the systems that were the districts that were formed in that were merged in Bolinas, were those private, Jennifer, prior to?
No, those were also public utilities.
They were public utility districts. So in the Stinson Beach situation, Ed, the private district, that was just owned by a family or a company or a person?
A family that had been in Stinson Beach for many years. And so we purchased it, the district purchased it back in 1977-78 and have established their own staff and ordinances for water and wastewater in those years since then.
I wanted to ask you both, and this may be more of an impact on Stinson Beach than Bolinas, but Jennifer, correct me if I'm wrong. It's one thing to be able to communicate with the folks who pay the bills and the people who are there day in and day out, but with the number of visitors and sort of vacation rental type units, what ways do the districts go about communicating conservation to those folks? And I'll start with Jennifer.
Well, our first approach has been, in the past, we've communicated directly with real estate agents that are often responsible for the management of rental properties in Bolinas, but also directly reaching out to the owners of the homes that are individually rented out. And it's our understanding when in talking with folks that they often have, you know, posted information within the rental to make the people there aware of the fact that the community is on a scarce water supply and to be conservative in their water use.
And that's been successful?
By and large, yes, I think it has.
Great. And what about you, Ed? Because there are a lot of units in Stinson Beach that are rented out.
Exactly. So we've been very aggressive in pursuing water conservation ideas for the public. In fact, I have a list I'll leave with you here. It's 22 ideas about ways to save water. We also have been at this for a while now. We initiated our Stage 1 notice back in September of 2012, and that got some response, but we realized we needed to do more. So in April of 2013, we started with a Stage 2 notice. And we've reached out to the community And we have also been working with the realtors and property management people because we think about maybe 30% of the homes in Stinson Beach are not occupied full-time, maybe even more. So that just brings me to a quick point, which is people can go online and find out if you have Wi-Fi in your house, and if you're not there for an extended period of time, there's equipment that you can buy and sensors that will tell you, give you a remote readout on your iPhone, what your water usage is in gallons. So it's about $600 or $700 to buy all the equipment for that, and I won't go into all the suppliers, but if you wanted to call me at the district, I'll be glad to share that information with you. And that'll help a lot with people, because sometimes they'll have a leak and they won't even know about it for 3 or 4 months. So this will help people monitor the usage while they're not there, and probably more importantly, it'll help them monitor the usage when they have renters in. So that's important, and there are a number of water conservation.
Yeah, there's some cool tips and information on the Stinson Beach website. Well, what I want to ask next is, you know, in a situation when the water use is being monitored, what are the penalties or what is sort of the end result for folks that are unable to achieve the conservation that is necessary? And I'll start with you, Jennifer, in terms of, you know, if the district, because we don't get enough rain through the rest of this spring, goes into a mandatory rationing situation, how do you handle the enforcement?
Well, we instituted mandatory rationing back in 2009 via a specific resolution specific to our circumstances at that time. And what we would envision is if we, in fact, needed to move to mandatory rationing in 2014, we would undertake a similar process. And back in 2009, we essentially had a warning system in place where people would get one warning and a second warning, and the ultimate penalty for enforcement was shutting off the water. We did not have to go to that. We had 99% compliance essentially with our water rationing back in 2009. Our board elected not to implement a fine system. We implemented a warning system, and then ultimately with the penalty of shutting off water to the service.
Okay, thank you very much, Jennifer. Blackman from Bolinas. And Ed, what about Stinson Beach?
Well, Stinson Beach County Water District has gone to, implementing a water conservation or actually a rationing program. And the way it is going to be administered is for anybody who uses more than 125 gallons per day for that first month that we're going to be monitoring, which will be the month of April. Then when they get their water bill at the last of the month for April, there would be a warning on there if they went over 125 gallons per day.
Is that per day, per just per house?
Yes, that's per day, per residence.
Okay. Yeah.
And then if they weren't able to rectify the usage, then there is a possibility of a fine after they go into that second month. And then the next month, so now we're talking about the June bill that goes out the first week in July. Water could be shut off, although we're developing an appeal program for people to present their rationale as to why they can't meet the objective. And then staff will make some recommendations to the board on which people should be allowed, a success to their appeal.
Now, I know that I'd read there was a meeting in Nicasio recently about water usage, and that I know that they had actually trucked in water for people to use. Have either Bolinas or Stinson Beach ever had to resort to trying to bring in outside water sources? I'll start with you, Jennifer.
Not as a result of the scarce water supply. It's my understanding that we did truck in water back in the 1980 El Nino storm season when the raw water transmission system was essentially wiped out by the storm.
Mm.
And water had to be trucked in. My recollection is that this was all under a disaster process through the Federal Emergency Management Agency. And I think there was a second time in history in the 90s when we also had to do that when there was a bad leak on the system. But we have not had to do that, to my knowledge, as a result of water scarcity.
Got it. And for you, Ed Schmidt from Stinson Beach?
No, I'm not aware of any hauling of water by large trucks. However, private citizens have, I understand, have done that from time to time. When they weren't didn't have the water to irrigate, then water that could be brought in by a truck could be used outside. Of course, you wouldn't want to pipe it to the inside of your plumbing, but it'd be
For irrigation.
For irrigation purposes only. It's really, you know, like Bolinas, we've taken a look at that, but it's not, it's going to be a tough road to go down that way, because the problem is it would take about 100 to 150 trucks a day, and we'd have to have some place to discharge it into. And that means going up to a water treatment plant on a steep, narrow road. That might not be the best thing. But if we have to come to that, we'll definitely, that'll be one of the options if we have to.
I wanted to ask both of you, because, you know, in a drought year, the chance of fires is pretty high. And I can imagine that if there is either a structure or vegetation fire within your district, that that can really tax the water supply. I know that in Inverness, many years back when there was a large fire, that there were issues around just the quality of the water, because so much water was used to fight the fire. Jennifer, can you address that for Bolinas?
Well, we, of course, have been in contact with our fire department and discussed the status of the water supply, but our planning process in terms of the conservation alert and then going to mandatory rationing includes an analysis of the safe yield that we need to be able to have on hand to fight fires.
Gotcha. Thank you very much. And Ed, for Stinson Beach?
We reserve 20% of our water storage capability, which is about 120,000 gallons, for fighting fires. The generally accepted rule is 1,000 gallons a minute for two fires going on at the same time for 30 to 60 minutes. So we need well over 100,000 gallons in storage for the capability for fighting two fires at the same time, and we're able to do that.
Excellent. Well, hopefully it doesn't lead to that, but I know that I'm just trying to ask the questions that I think are on people's minds. Now, in terms of, are there any programs in either Bolinas or Stinson Beach that are giving incentives for folks to sort of gather rainwater or put other conservation measures, do, shower head replacements, upgrade toilets? Are there any rebate programs in place in Bolinas, Jennifer?
We don't have rebate programs in place, but we have a lot of information that we've provided out to people, and we know that landscape irrigation can be one of the largest reasons why the water consumption goes up in dry months. And so we've tried to do a lot of education around rainwater capture. A number of our residents have installed catchment tanks, and also the County of Marin and, well, the state of California generally, the plumbing codes have been amended in recent years to allow gray water systems in much more easily than they have been in the past. And we're planning actually to put in our next newsletter information about gray water systems and how they can be installed and where people can go for information.
Super. I know the single source point gray water systems can help a lot with the irrigating, especially just sort of ornamental plants, which are really the bulk of what folks are using water to water. I mean, there's agricultural water use, and I'm going to get to that in a future program. But for residential use, oftentimes it really gets my goat to have to use drinking water on plants that we just look at and we don't eat. What about you in Stinson Beach, Ed, in terms of are there any rebate or other incentive programs for folks?
No, there's no rebate at this time. However, we have been working with local landscape contractors, and we're handling the storage of polyethylene water storage tanks. For example, there's one here that was put in recently. We got an order for about 14 of them, 500 gallons each. Within 24 hours, they were out and distributed. In fact, one person who lives on Seadrift has six downspouts on their house, large house, and they have a 500-gallon polyethylene water storage tank under each drain, under each downspout. So they're getting very, very popular. Of course, you got to plan out how much water do you need, and are you going to get enough capture in these things to be able to do the amount of watering you do, you have to do some math to figure out how much you need and if it's going to be effective for you or not.
Right, and also, you know, safe storage of water. You don't want to get yourself into a situation where you have a mosquito breeding area that is going to cause other problems in the community. And so I just want to give you both a chance now. I'll start with you, Jennifer. Do you have any final words and information for the folks in Bolinas regarding the drought and the water situation?
Well, I want to again thank everyone for being so incredibly cooperative with our recent call for additional conservation, and to let people know that we are issuing updates on our website that they can, if they go to our website, which is www.bcpud.org, we generally have a water supply update there that we're trying to update every week, and we can let people know how things are going. We're waiting to see how productive the current rains are going to be and what comes into the next couple of months to know how we'll be managing the community's water supply for the rest of 2014.
Thank you, Jennifer. And Ed?
Well, like Jennifer, I want to thank the public for their reaction. Even before we had rationing in place, people were already conserving. We have a very high level of technical knowledge of people within the population of Stinson Beach, and as a result, they're bringing in water conservation ideas to the district. So we appreciate that, and the extra work by the district staff is appreciated very much by myself and the board, and the board continues to hold frequent. Normally, we meet once a month, but because of the drought, we've been meeting every 10 to 12 days with the public to discuss new ideas and where we at with water supply. So I just, like Jennifer, I just want to thank everybody.
Would you give your website, Ed, because I found there's some really cool tips on there, and just, you know, some of these things were really helpful, sort of like, you know, a bathtub full of water is 36 gallons, the shower is 2 gallons per minute, you know, the old shower heads versus new shower heads, and teeth brushing can be less than a gallon, especially if you turn the water off in between when you're brushing. You know, if you wash your hands and face, it's a gallon. Shaving is about a gallon. Your dishwasher, depending on its usage. And if you have your owner's manuals for these things, you can pretty much look it up, I would think. And so if you could give out the URL for the website, because it's just got some really helpful information.
Yeah, I think if I could suggest that you send it to ed@stinson-beach-cwd.dst.ca.us, and that way I'll get them, and then I can respond individually to people.
But you're the website for, what's your web, do you know your website?
It's Stinson Beach County Water District.
Yeah, so if you look that up, you can get, there's some pretty good information on there that just sort of gives you some ideas. And I know that there's a lot of information from the University of California Extension on sort of drought-resistant plants, and if you want to make some changes to your landscape in order to be less reliant on irrigation water, that there's lots of information and resources out there for folks. But I want to thank Jennifer Blackman from Bolinas and Ed Schmidt from Stinson Beach for taking the time out to come on. And I'm hoping that depending on what happens with our rainfall situation for the rest of the year, that we'll be checking back in with both of you as we head into the summer.
Great. Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jennifer. I'm going to take a tiny musical break, and then I'm going to come back, and I'll be speaking with Libby Pichel, who's on the phone with us from the Marin Municipal Water District. I hope that you will stay with us as we continue our ongoing series on water here on KWMR. Right, folks. Well, we've learned about the Inverness Public Utility District as well as North Marin Water District's West Marin System and the Bolinas Public Utility District and Stinson Beach County Water District. These four systems, as we have learned, have a limited storage capacity and keep a specific amount of water on hand for public use as well as for fighting structure or wildfires, but it is a limited storage capacity. conservation tactics on these use-it-or-lose-it systems are helpful, but mandated conservation will mostly go into place once the water reserves become lower. This is particularly true with West Marin's North Marin system and in Inverness. Both Bolinas and Stinson Beach have asked for voluntary reductions in use, and residents are doing a great job of complying. Recent storms have brought in much-needed precipitation, but the region is still well below the average for rainfall. And although your dogs may be tracking in muddy footprints and the frogs are happy, the lack of rainfall over this past year puts the region in a drought condition. Libby Pichel from the Marin Municipal Water District is joining me today by telephone. Good morning, Libby. You're live on the air.
Good morning. Nice to join you, Amanda. Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. My goal with this series is really to get information out to folks about sort of where does our water come from, because I know that many of us in West Marin drive around the Nicasio Reservoir and look at those levels and then think that that is the water that's coming out of our taps, and that's not true here in West Marin. And the Marin Municipal Water District is a big and complex system that's been around since the early 1900s. Libby, do you want to talk a little bit about the size and complexity of your system?
Sure, I will. Yes, MMWD was formed in 1912. It's actually the first municipal water district in the state of California, so it is very old. Over time, it absorbed close to 30 small water systems scattered throughout mostly southeastern Marin, but also extending west into San Geronimo Valley. That used to be a private small water system, and over time it became part of the MMWD system. We have 900 miles of pipe. Our service area is 147 square miles. We serve about three-quarters of Marin County's population, which is about 186,000 people. And we have seven reservoirs that provide 75% of the water we use each year. And then we also import water from the Russian River in Sonoma County.
So right now, the reservoir system is about 60% of where it should be normally this time of year?
You know, we've had so much rain in February, we are actually in much better shape. Our reservoirs are now at 83% of capacity, 83% of average for this date, and they had been about 60%.
Oh, that's
a month ago.
That's great news.
It is great news. In February, we had 21 inches of rain, basically. Well, it also, I guess, rolling over into this past weekend, beginning of March. But so that made all the difference for us in terms of water supply.
And in the first big series of storms, there was just like this immense amount of water that fell on Mount Tam, where it didn't fall as much in other places, but that is the watershed for the Marin Municipal Water District. So that worked out well.
It did, yes. Yes, that is why the reservoirs are located where they are, because that's where the rain falls.
Now, there's seven reservoirs, and my understanding is that the system is sort of, the water is moved around within the system. Is that correct?
To some degree, yes. We try to move it minimally because it is more expensive that way. So a lot of the water flows by gravity into as much as it can into treatment plants. Four of our reservoirs on Mount Tam are linked, Lagunitas, Bontempi, Alpine, and Kent. So when Lagunitas is full, it spills into Bontempi, which when full spills into Alpine, which when full spills into Kent. So that's all gravity flow. But our system is linked because we do need to be able to get water to different places.
Now, in terms of the Nicasio Reservoir, since that's really the most visible reservoir for West Marin residents, what is the, when we see it going up and down, how does that work for Marin Municipal Water District?
Well, that is one of the reservoirs that we rely on year in, year out for water supply. So that water is pumped to the San Geronimo Valley Treatment Plant, and then from there it's distributed into the service area, including San Geronimo Valley.
So the furthest west, so the San Geronimo Valley is under Marin Municipal, but as I understand it, the Nicasio Valley, where the reservoir is not piped on that same system.
That's correct. That's not part of our service area.
So that's interesting. I was talking with someone from there and hope to speak with somebody from Nicasio in a future program about their water situation as well. It's been very interesting to learn about these different systems. Marin Municipal Water District, unlike some of these other programs, does offer some rebate programs for their customers.
We do, and we definitely want to let people know about that because we want them to take advantage of them. We have rebates right now for high-efficiency toilets, $100 per toilet, up to two toilets per household. And then we also have rebates for water-efficient clothes washers, and sometimes PG&E also has rebates for those. So if they're having rebates right now, that means someone could get two rebates. And then we also have rebates on irrigation system controllers. And we have all of the information on our website, or people can call us at 945-1455 and ask for information from the Conservation Department.
And if somebody's not a customer of Marin Municipal Water District, those rebates don't apply.
That's correct.
But I do want to let folks know that of all the research that I've done, these different water districts have an immense amount of information on all of their websites, and including Marin Municipal, North Marin, Stinson Beach has a great series of tips. Bolinas is keeping folks updated with all of the information on their website. So there's a lot of information out there for conservation, and I wouldn't limit myself as a customer of one district to not sort of checking out what the other districts are saying, because there's slightly different information on every website.
Well, that's a good point, and even if you can't get a rebate, I hope that just our water efficient information, you know, how to use water efficiently, would be helpful to anybody.
Is there just the one treatment plant in the San Geronimo Valley, or are there different treatment plants throughout the Marin service area?
Well, that's our primary treatment plant, the one in San Geronimo Valley, but we also have one on Mount Tam, the Bontempi treatment plant. It's a little bit smaller, but we use both of them year round. And then we have not really a full treatment plant, but where we bring in the water from the Russian River in North Marin, we do some minimal treatment there. So we have those three plants for our potable water. And then separately, we have a recycled water treatment plant in San Rafael.
And that's used for irrigation?
Primarily irrigation, yes.
That is great. That's great news. And you also had some really good information on the website for Marin Municipal Water District about the legal single-source gray water systems.
Yes. Yes, there's been changes in the state regulations to make it easier for people to have legal gray water systems. And so we do support that effort. And also the county has been very involved in that, because they actually, the county health or environmental health, I think it's called, department issues permits for the gray water. So that's a great source, too, for information on gray water, is the Marin County website.
I'm talking with Libby Pichel from Marin Municipal Water District. I'm Amanda, and this is Swimming Upstream on KWMR. Libby, when we spoke to North Marin Water, and we learned from them that the two wells, and in the future a third well that's not going to be as at a low as elevation, will be installed to serve the customers of Paradise Estates, Olema, Point Reyes Station, and Inverness Park. And what they told us was that the flow of Lagunitas Creek is like intrinsically linked to those wells, and that Lagunitas Creek is guaranteed a certain amount of water flow year round because there's a mandatory creek flow required for the health of the fish. And that water is released by Marin Municipal Water District. And I'm curious if there is ever, has there ever been, or what would the plan be in a really serious drought situation where the water from Lagunitas Creek might need to be reduced, which could affect the water system for the folks out here?
Well, first, I just want to confirm that, yes, we do. We have an agreement with the state of California to release water into the creek, which we do. And we do it on a schedule that has been developed to maximize the health of the creek for fisheries and other beneficial uses. So we do that as needed throughout the year. We have when we release the water, the schedule is based on what is called normal flows or dry year flows. So most of the time, we're on normal flows. This year, because 2013 was so dry, we did go to our dry year flow, so that was slightly reduced. If we were in extreme drought, such as 75-76, which is the drought of record for this community, we could consider petitioning the state for some kind of relief on that requirement, but that's not something that, fortunately, that's not something that we've needed to do. But it would certainly be a last resort.
Well, thank you very much for that information. I think it's just it's been fascinating to learn sort of how the systems are linked or not and where all of the water comes from that we drink. And I'm going to continue with this series. But first, I just wanted to thank you, Libby, and thank Marin Municipal Water District for taking such good care of our giant watershed that helps all of us, truly, and that there is access to these lands for hiking and bicycling and walking your dog on leash, as well as horseback riding and fishing.
Well, you are welcome, and thank you, Amanda, for having me. And yes, the watershed is for everyone's use, enjoyment. You know, we all treasure it, take care of it, benefit from it. So it's a wonderful resource, and, you know, we're privileged to be the caretakers.
Well, hopefully the rains continue to fall and we are sort of in a normal situation, but regardless, it's been good to learn more about the water system, and if things do dry up, we'll be getting back in touch with folks as we proceed into the summer for follow-ups. And I thank you, Libby, and the folks at Marin Municipal for taking the time to talk with us.
Okay, thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'm going to take a little musical break here and get Jim Mickelson on the phone to talk with him. We're going to be having a discussion around wells and other types of water systems that aren't part of water districts. So I hope that you'll stay with us right here on KWMR.
Mud-colored dogs guarding shotgun shacks.
Thanks for staying with us here on KWMR. I'm Amanda, and this is Swimming Upstream. And on the telephone with me from Jerry and Don's Jaeger Pump and Well in Petaluma is Jim Mickelson. Good morning, Jim. Thanks for taking the time out.
You bet.
So, you know, in this series, we've, as we chatted about on the phone, I've talked with a lot of different folks now, Inverness, North Marin, Bolinas, Stinson, and now Marin Municipal Water District. But as we know, folks in our listening area aren't all customers of a water district, and some people have to fend for themselves in terms of getting their water. And so I wanted to reach out to you and touch base. Specifically, the areas that come to mind are Marshall area as well as Nicasio, and maybe some places where they just haven't run pipe from the water districts. And Jerry and Don's Jaeger Pump and Well has been around for over 50 years and provide services for people who want to put in their own water systems. Isn't that right, Jim?
Yeah, that's correct.
Do you want to talk a little bit about, you know, what that means and what does it take to sort of put in your own well?
Well, so as far as putting in your own well, there's a number of steps that you have to go through. You first have to apply to the Environmental Health Department, and that would be in San Rafael. And you can pull, it's easy to pull a permit to drill a well. Once the well's completed, I think the easiest part is pulling a permit. The hardest part's finding the water. And then once you've found the water, you need to go through a certification process. And that's twofold. One is to establish how much water's in the well. And then the second is to do a water quality analysis report. It's called a Title 22. The general mineral and inorganic water analysis. Those both those tests get submitted to the county, and then once the county's approved them, they'll go ahead and issue a building permit from there.
And what are they looking for, just to make sure there's not a bunch of, you know, dangerous things coming out of the water that you would be ingesting?
Right. Well, there's two things. One, they want to ensure that there's sufficient water to support a home. In Marin County, you need to demonstrate at least a minimum flow of 1 gallon per minute. And that needs to be in the driest time of the year. So that testing usually starts around the middle of July and is cut off after we've received about 10 inches of rainfall, which is in a normal year would be the first part to middle part of December. Lately, we haven't seen that. And then the second part is the water quality is to determine that the water's potable and safe to drink, and then if there's something that needs to be treated, either the water's hard or there's some iron, manganese, things like that that need to be dealt with that can be treated.
And that can happen in a treatment process that can be on-site.
Correct. So, and what we do basically for rural properties that aren't on a community water system is basically the same thing that a municipality does. So we ensure that the water's bacteria-free. If it's not, we'll recommend either an ultraviolet system or a chlorination system. Chlorine's the most common way to kill coliform and E. coli in water, and that's what by far and away the majority of the mutual water systems uses chlorine. A lot of our customers out in that area and really all over Sonoma and Marin County prefer the ultraviolet light because we're not having to use a chemical or chlorine to kill that bacteria. So an ultraviolet light is something that uses UV rays to kill the bacteria that moves through the unit.
So when you dig a well, you generally are digging into the ground. And is that tapping into an aquifer or is that tapping into a spring? You know, what does that work and what type of geology are we talking about for this area?
Well, one of the things that tells a story about where water is when you're driving around the countryside, and especially out in West Marin, you know, you talked about Marshall and Nicasio and up towards Tamales. You don't see a lot of development, and there's a couple of reasons. One is because of zoning, but the second is because of water availability, and there's just not a lot of groundwater out in those areas. So how do we, you know, how do you determine it? Sometimes when we're drilling, you know, depth is the answer. The deeper you go, the more water you can find. You're limited on how far you can go based upon what the formations look like. But there are numerous wells where we'll drill through maybe two or three or four or five different formations to get water. And you might have one formation that makes a gallon a minute and another one that makes two or three and hit one that maybe makes 8 or 10 gallons a minute. And combined, you put those different aquifers together to generate enough water to support what we're trying to do. Now, a typical well out in those areas can run anywhere from maybe 40 feet deep to as much as 300 or 400 feet.
Wow, that's pretty deep. And are there methods that are generally used to determine the best place to dig a well? I know you get like the person with the, you know, the stick walking around. I mean, is that something that is used by the folks at Jerry and Don's Yeager Pump and Well?
Well, you know, it's something that we offer as another tool for locating water. You can use a geologist, and in a lot of cases, geologists are brought in to try and locate water. There's a lot of people that really believe in dowsing or witching. I personally witnessed a piece of property that was about 100 acres, and the customer had three different dowsers come in and locate three different sites for wells on that property. And all three of those guys, without knowing where the other guys had located spots, all located the same three spots within a few feet of each other on that piece of property.
Wow.
So, you know, is it the end-all, be-all for dowsing? No, but a lot of people believe in it, and for those that believe in it, it's something that we have access to somebody that provides that service. The other thing is history. You know, we've been in business for so long here. We've kept our records back from when we first started. So typically we know or have a pretty good feeling about an area. So if somebody were to come to us and say, I live on Nicasio Valley Road and I live in this area, we can look at the neighbors around them and have a pretty good idea of what we're going to find. And then if the geologically, if the ground looks the same on a piece of property and it's not a big piece of property, then it's just kind of let's pick a spot that makes the most sense and drill there. And if it's got a little more diversity to the property, then a lot of times we'll bring in a geologist and also a dowser if the customer wants that option.
Well, that brings up a good point, Jim. is that, so I'm, say I have a neighbor and I have a well and my neighbor has a well and my neighbor's using a lot more water, could they use up my water?
You know, if you're drawing from the same aquifer, then yes, that's a possibility. And we get a lot of calls from people saying, you know, my neighbor's using a lot of water or they're wasting water. How do I know it's affecting me or not? The only way to really know, or there's ways to know, and one would be to put a dye in one well and see if it draws over into another neighboring property that's pumping the water. The other option would be to have your well tested. And by tested, establish a protocol so that if you're going to check your water level in the well, you check it the same every time you check it. So in some cases where we go out and do these tests, we'll say turn your well off for a 24-hour period. We'll record what that water level is, and then every 6 months or once a year we'll do that same protocol and check the water level. You could tell if your neighbor was using a lot of water, if you checked your water level in your well and just left it off and then checked it at 1 hour intervals or 6 hour intervals or at some interval while they're using water, and if you saw your water level in your well drop, then you know you're in the same aquifer as they are and they're impacting your well.
And those things just have to get worked out between the neighbors.
Yeah. That's where they get together and talk over a cup of coffee.
Got it.
Yeah.
Now, you know, in these situations, is it common for like a series of neighbors to band together for sort of an economy of scale and create their own small system? I mean, we learned that a lot of these larger water districts were, purchasing up collections of small, privately owned, family-owned water systems to create a district. Have you seen that happen in these areas, like in Marshall or in Nicasio or other parts of Sonoma County?
No, we haven't. There are community water systems out there that exist, and for whatever reason, when the property is developed, and if there were, let's say there were 15 lots within one property and somebody's developing that, they have an option of either drilling 15 wells or maybe just drilling one or two to supply the whole system. If 15 parcels were put together, that would be a state system, and it's monitored by the state environmental health department. So they have very specific guidelines that they have to follow, very similar to what municipalities do. So the real reason that that's done is basically because of the economics of putting something together and then the availability of groundwater. We've not seen rural properties coming together in situations like this where they're trying to use one well to form a water company to benefit maybe some people that don't have the water to support their property. We see a lot of people out in Marin County hauling water.
Mm-hmm.
They have storage tanks and get water delivered. So the people in the areas that you're talking about are really very, very conscious about what they've got as far as a natural resource goes. And really, I think overall, do a great job of managing what they've got.
And do you know if there are grants available for those types of projects?
There are grants available for the municipal systems, but for individual property owners, I don't know of any grants that are available.
Okay. Well, this is really interesting because, as I went into this, it looks like on a map that Marshall is covered by the North Marin Water District, yet there isn't service to that area. It's all individual systems.
Correct, yeah. We do a lot of work out in that area. I mean, we've got numerous accounts out there,
mm-hmm.
And they're all on their own water systems.
And as you said, most of them are using the ultraviolet light. Is that what you said, rather than a chlorine system?
A lot of them are using ultraviolet lights. There are some that are using chlorine. As far as a lot of the homeowners are using ultraviolet light. A lot of the commercial businesses that are out in that area use chlorine just from the simple fact that if you can measure a chlorine residual in the water, then you can feel pretty safe that water is safe to drink. All those, the commercial properties are all tested for bacteria monthly, so their systems are insured to be safe to supplied safe drinking water.
Are you getting a spike in calls from folks who are interested in adding wells to their property, even though they're on a system, just so that they can potentially irrigate from their own water without using potable drinking water?
Oh, yes. We're getting calls. I can't believe the volume of calls. It's amazing. And it's people that are, like you say, wanting to use groundwater instead of using a municipal system. It's people that have wells and have had them for years and haven't used them and are saying, you know what, I need to turn this thing on and get it going because they're concerned about their primary source. They're concerned about water being limited. We're inundated.
Well, I guess that's good for business.
it is good for business. But, you know, the other thing, too, is I think it's really woke people up. And the benefit of this having this drought, again, is that people are becoming more aware of what this resource is that we have and how precious and valuable it is and how important it is to protect the quality of it. So it's bad that we've got the drought, but it's sure bringing water conservation to everybody's front of their thought process.
Well, Jim Mickelson from Jerry and Don's Jaeger Pump and Well in Petaluma, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to talk with us on KWMR. And if things get worse, it sounds like they're getting a little bit better, but if things do get worse, we will give you a call back and get some updates.
Great. Happy to help out.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.
All right.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Thanks for hanging in there for swimming upstream this morning. This is our fourth program in a series on water and the drought. And although we've had a little bit of rain lately, that doesn't really stop the issue, the fact that we had very little rainfall in 2013. On our first program, we learned about the systems of Inverness Public Utility District and North Marin Water District. On the second show, we covered the Bolinas Public Utility District and Stinson Beach County Water System. On the third program last week, we learned about the Marin Municipal Water District and private systems for homes or businesses that have wells. Today, we will learn more about Nicasio's water system and also discuss the impacts of drought on ranchers in West Marin. One thing that has been a thread throughout the series is the fact that each of the systems that serve West Marin are completely independent from any larger state water system, and the water is sourced locally in most cases. This is great in terms of being independent, but also has risks associated with long-term drought conditions since no water comes in to West Marin from other places. Well, the exception would be anybody that brings in hauled water, which we know in Stinson Beach people have done that in the past, and I will ask that about Nicasio today. The series up today is being recorded, and the 30-minute segments will be replayed and should all be posted on the KWMR website very soon on the Swimming Upstream show page. This morning, I'm pleased to welcome Eric Blance, the chief of the Nicasio Volunteer Fire Department, to KWMR. Good morning, Eric, and thank you for joining me on KWMR.
Good morning. Thank you.
No problem. So, you know, when we were talking to folks, and I didn't know this when I started this series, but the residents of Nicasio do not get their water from the Nicasio Reservoir.
That's true.
Where do they get their water?
They get it locally, as you suggested in your intro. There are a number of areas in West Marin where people are on wells, and in fact, about 50% of the wells in West Marin are in Nicasio.
Wow. Are there any shared systems, or is pretty much if you have a water system on your property, that's what you're doing, and then your neighbor has their own?
Predominantly, people have their own, but there are several shared systems. Some of them are related to smaller community developments, like what's locally known as the LaFranchi development. In the Santa Margarita area, there are a number of shared wells that are shared out maybe between maybe 5 and 10 or even fewer homes.
Gotcha.
But mostly people have their own well on their own property.
Could you explain to us, Eric, sort of the geographic boundaries of Nicasio and where you guys feel that your town or boundaries are for that area?
Well, this Nicasio is pretty well defined, actually, by the watershed serving that feeds the reservoir. If you follow the ridge lines around the Nicasio Valley and up through Lucas Valley and to the north up towards Rocky Hill, all of the area that sheds water down towards the reservoir is within the boundaries of Nicasio, as I understand it.
So I know I'm trying to figure out Olema sometimes myself.
Yeah.
How far out Lucas Valley Road is technically in Nicasio?
Big Rock.
Big Rock. Okay, that makes it pretty clear.
Right at the top of the watershed.
Got it. So that all sort of drains in, but it's really the wells and systems, not the water that goes into the reservoir. That is a north. That's a Marin Municipal Water District reservoir.
Yeah, I mean, I've tried to school myself on water issues since getting involved in this, and it's complicated. But Marin Municipal Water District secured the rights to all the surface, all the riparian waters in Nicasio back in the probably late 50s, early 60s, when the dam was built, or its construction began in about the 60s, in 60. And so anyone who's out here who has a creek running through their property, that water belongs to MMWD, unless they have secured, because they were here earlier, the riparian right to that water. And there are limitations on their right to pull water from those known creeks.
From the surface water.
From surface water.
Right.
But once it's in the ground, that water is available for folks to use as they will on their own properties.
So is there a shortage of water this year due to the low rainfall in 2013?
Well, there was alarmingly in January a pretty high number of folks who were running short, and usually that would be an October problem. But with the incredibly dry year in 2013, you know, about half the amount of water that was seen in the prior driest year on record, I think that was 1929, we had people having trouble in January before the big rains. Now, of course, these are many of the wells are fairly shallow, and so after a really good soaker, those wells perk up. But yes, there are still some people who are having trouble even after these last rains, but very few, I would say. Our concern out here is with if we were to have a persistent drought through many years of the sort that we had last year, and we're still obviously in a sort of drought status here, that those numbers of homes that can't meet their local supply might increase, and we've been looking for solutions to sort of guard against that worst possible scenario.
So, Eric, when you say troubles, that means the wells are dry, or is the water quality just kind of funky and full of silt and messing up the wells, the pumps and systems?
Oh, well, principally we're looking at volume, not quality. Some people do have problems with quality in their wells, but typically that's after a big rain. When it's dry, it's just the flow. So the refresh rate on a private well will begin to slow. And at some point, it just doesn't keep up with even minimal demand. Folks out here are pretty parsimonious with their water, and you know, in some limited number of cases, they can't keep up, and they have to truck water. That's been the typical solution.
So, are there just companies that'll just like haul a truck full of water out that's drinkable and put it into the tanks?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
There are truckers who do that. There is some question about their ability to continue to do so in an extended drought, however.
Right. And then the price, I mean, it's got to be more expensive. I mean, there's cost associated with buying your water from a water district, and then there's costs. You know, you might think,
they're
totally independent. They've got their own well. They don't have to pay, you know, North Marin Water, but they're paying for the maintenance, the upkeep, and the treating of their own system.
Yeah, I mean, it's a quaint notion that you're independent with a well, and that's true in some real sense, but it's also it's much more of a headache and more costly to have a well and provide your own water than it is to have central water.
So I would imagine you probably find that people are pretty sparing and think about their landscapes a little bit differently when they're responsible for their own water.
You know, I like to think so, and the folks that I've spoken with out here are overwhelmingly the folks who have had trouble with their water, and I can tell you that the vast majority of them are very sparing with their water, whether it's landscaping or other uses.
You know, and last week we learned a little bit about wells, and in some well systems, the aquifers do pretty well even during a drought. Is that the source of the groundwater system in Nicasio, or is it really not an aquifer, but really more about groundwater and the watershed itself draining?
Yeah, our situation here is complicated by the geology. There is no no large aquifer of the sort that, say, resides under Santa Rosa up north beneath Nicasio. The geology here is what they call Franciscan melange.
Oh, nice.
And that is a contorted mixture of hard rock and fissures, and what that yields is a real mixed bag in terms of groundwater. So, for instance, you know, a neighbor of mine has an incredibly productive well, has never had any trouble, and then two doors down, my neighbor has trouble with water many, you know, in most years.
Hmm.
And so the situation is really mixed. There are a few areas in Nicasio under the valley floors where there are more alluvial soils and sediment has deposited over time, where there are substantial amounts of water, and the best producing and most reliable wells are in that area.
Now, Eric, and I just want to remind folks, I'm speaking with Eric Blantz, who is the chief of the Nicasio Valley Fire Department and very knowledgeable on water issues. Nicasio recently had a community meeting about water, and what was the outcome of that?
Well, the focus of that meeting was just to inform the community out here about the efforts of the Landowners Association, and my work on this problem is really in connection with my role as a on the board of the Nicasio Landowners Association, and we've been working to try to identify potential solutions for the worst case scenario of an extended drought of the sort we had last year. In conversations with Marin Municipal and also locally around local solutions, and we just wanted to inform the community of efforts to date and options that we had identified that might provide solutions, and then to gauge the level of interest in community investment in those solutions. That was the meeting's primary goal.
Got it. Well, it would be interesting to do some follow-up with you, depending on where things go through this summer. And we may do a little follow-up on this series as we go along. But, Eric Blantz, I really want to thank you for taking the time out this morning to talk with us on KWMR about the water systems in Nicasio Valley.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
You bet, and have a great day.
You too.
Good morning, and thank you for staying tuned to KWMR, West Marin Community Radio. I am Amanda Eichstead, and I am doing my series on water here on Swimming Upstream. In studio with me is Patricia Hickey, the stewardship director, or one of the stewardship directors at the Marin Agricultural Land Trust. Good morning, Patricia.
Good morning, Amanda.
Are you one of, or are you it?
I'm it. I have two associates who work with me.
Great. Well, thank you so much. And on the telephone is Rick LaFranchi, and he is representing, you are a dairyman, Rick, is that correct?
All my family's in the dairy business in Nicasio, yes.
In Nicasio, and we just talked to Nicasio about, we talked to Eric Blantz about the water issue in Nicasio. Well, this morning I wanted to do to follow up on the series on water because we've been talking a lot about individual households' access to drinking water, irrigation. We've talked a little bit about firefighting water, but the issue is a big one for agriculture. And Patricia, I'll just start out by saying that Malt has covered this in the newsletter, as well as Marin Organic has also covered this, and it's a pretty big issue. And as I understand it, Malt's role with the agricultural easements is really to be a resource provider for the agricultural community that is on Malt protected lands.
Sure. So we, one of our really important roles is to work with our partner agencies, the U.S. Department of Ag, Natural Resource Conservation Service, and the Marin RCD, the Farm Bureau, so that when things, emergencies like drought come up, we can all work together to help organize workshops, help them with paperwork, understand where there's relief funding. So that's, you know, our important role.
That is a really important role because these folks are pretty busy doing the everyday tasks of running their businesses in agriculture. So, Rick, I wanted to ask you specifically, how has this last year, 2013, with really a very low amount of rainfall, affected the dairy business as you're aware of it?
Well, I think it's had a dramatic effect on the dairy business in the last year. I mean, as you know, we had record low rainfall, and I think on Mount Tam they said it was somewhere in the range of 10 or 11 inches for the year, and so we would get even less than that. So clearly it had a dramatic impact. For us, on our ranch, our dam was down to the point where prior to those big rains earlier in February, we were within, you know, maybe 1 to 2 weeks of having to haul water for our cows, and the average dairy cow consumes between 30 and 50 gallons of water a day. Times 400 is somewhere in the range of, you know, upwards of 12 to 15,000 gallons of water a day that we need. And so that would have been a significant, you know, undertaking to have to bring that in. And so it's certainly affected that. It's affected pasture, where normally you're able to graze your cattle, you know, at some point, you know, or for at least a couple of months prior to, you know, February. This year there was none of that. There was no grass available, so you have to feed all your animals, which is a significant additional cost. And now the biggest challenge I think we're facing is that while we might get enough rain here to sustain us through the season and perhaps get us into the next year okay, what's going on in the mountains with a real lack of snowpack, which impacts the farmers in the Central Valley who grow our hay, and organic hay right now is about $350 a ton. And if they're not able to get the water they need to produce their crop, it's going to go significantly higher, which could, you know, really create a hardship for all organic dairymen.
So that's very interesting because really we're sort of looking at these systems in West Marin as being relatively independent, but knowing that the bigger picture, and I do have a call into the State Water Board to do some follow-up with them in terms of the state, but that's very interesting because of the feed for the animals that comes from the Central Valley.
Right.
The economic impacts of this are huge. And Patricia, there are some resources available to folks. Does it have to be declared a specific level of drought for those resources to become available to the ranchers and farmers?
Indeed. And so we're considered D2, which is a drought. There's D4, which is severe drought. And so actually looking at the map, part of the county, the southern part of the county is considered an extreme drought. So there is a livestock forage disaster program, and I'm not sure how that's getting played out. It's kind of in process. The farm bill was really late in getting passed, so there wasn't money sitting to help people. However, at the moment, the U.S. Department of Ag's Farm Service Agency does have an emergency conservation program to help people with water infrastructure. But the big issue really is the feed. And you know, our producers in the county are grass farmers, and that growing season is about 6 months. And so for every month that there is no crop, they're having to bring in replacement feed. And just to give people an idea of how much that's costing people, for even just a small herd, that can be $18,000 a month. So the last 4 months, that's $72,000, you know, minimum that they're having to
just
pay
to
out.
Just to feed the animals. I mean, we go out, if you drive out to the lighthouse or go on a bike ride, you see this low grass. They're munching away on this stuff, and there's these piles of feed that I didn't really make that connection, Rick, that the cost of those things are so impacted by a drought in the Central Valley where they're growing that food.
Yes. No, it's really significant. And like I say, if we don't get more snow and more rain, it's going to be a lot worse.
So these costs will ultimately get passed on to the consumer. I mean, the impacts on the individual operations, especially smaller operations that don't have the reserves or on sort of an economy of scale, per se, of a larger organization, that could really put some folks right out of business.
Oh, absolutely. And they've already started culling their herds and even culling their kind of their prize mama cows that they would not be selling for meat. And so they're going into debt and also going into their capital assets, their mama cows.
So, Rick, in terms of sort of being a stressful situation, how is this, you know, how are folks dealing with this situation? Or is this sort of par for the course? If it's not one thing, it's another?
Well, as farmers and ranchers, you get used to the challenges that nature, Mother Nature, throws your way. And so, you know, this is significant, though. I mean, this is by far the most severe drought we've experienced. Even the 76-77, we had more water, more rainfall than we do now. It's just trying to really very carefully prepare for what might be coming down the road and kind of gearing up for the challenges. And the thing is, yes, the cost could be passed on to the consumer, but there's also a point where the consumer says, you know what, I just can't afford this. And so there's that threat, too, of creating a price that's so high that it's prohibitive, and then there again you lose. So it's not a simple problem that we're facing here. It's one that's you know, that we just have to work through and hope that that Mother Nature comes through for us.
Patricia, you were talking about sort of this, the value of this infrastructure for storing water. So is that taking place with sort of storage tanks and different type of storage systems? Is that what's becoming available to these folks? Is better pricing on infrastructure, like a capital project?
So there's a movement underfoot to look for new ways to capture water from rooftops and to have more tank systems, to have more storage for longer periods of time. And, you know, traditionally people have used their stock ponds and their reservoirs. And recently the State Water Board has begun to really regulate those stock ponds. And they want the water in the streams for the fish, especially in the coastal zone. And folks are looking for, you know, better systems, better catchments, but that's very expensive.
Mm-hmm. Rick, have you and any of the folks that you know working have put into place any of these additional water storage systems?
We're looking very carefully at what our options are. You know, at this point, we're looking at the possibility of capturing the runoff from our freestall barns and piping that into our dam. We're looking at, other means of adding to the watershed for our dam. Our dam has a relatively small watershed in comparison to others. Our dam was also designed for 250 cows back in the early 50s, and today we milk 425 cows. So we have to look for ways to increase the capacity of the dam as well as increasing the potential runoff into the dam.
Got it. So, that, you know, this is a relatively complicated situation. Patricia, in one of our emails prior to the show, you mentioned this concept of now they're looking at a change in the weather potentially going into this next year that would sort of flip the switch from being in a drought situation to potentially dealing with flooding problems.
Right. So I just read recently there's maybe a 50% chance of having an El Nino event next year. And so the opposite, so extreme flooding, and given that we're coming out of a drought, there's not a lot of residual dry matter on the hillsides to protect the hillsides from erosion. That's just a whole other story. So it's always being prepared for the weather.
Right. Well, Rick, with this most recent rainfall, how has that improved the situation for you?
Well, what it's done is it's added certainly to the level of water in our dam. it certainly got the grass going, and with the warm weather we had yesterday, and hopefully for the rest of the week, we'll get the grass going in a real positive way. But we still need more water for us to have enough water in our dam to carry us through to the next rainy season. And so we're still facing the possibility of, by, I would say, early summer, of having to haul water for our cows.
Wow, that is a big, huge deal. Well, I'm hoping that what we can do with this series is to do follow-up with the folks that we have touched base with throughout this series and look at what happens as we go into the summer and in July and August, revisit some of these issues and do some follow-up for folks. But I know for me it's been fascinating to learn a little bit more about where the water comes from and the impacts of water and how it's stored and handled. And bringing this element of the agricultural use has also been very fascinating and interesting. So let's hope for some snow and some more rain and pacing itself so that we get some more erosion control going before we go into the possibility of an El Nino. Well, Patricia Hickey from MALT and Rick LaFranchi, I want to thank you both for joining me on KWMR as part of our ongoing water series. Thank you so much, and we'll be in touch as we go into the summer.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
You bet.
Today, I'm declaring a drought emergency in the state of California. We are in an unprecedented, very serious situation, and people should pause and reflect on how dependent we are on the rain, on nature, and one another.
This is Governor Jerry Brown announcing a drought state of emergency during a press conference on January 17th, 2014.
This is not a partisan adversary. This is Mother Nature, and at some point we have to learn to live with nature. We have to get on nature's side and not abuse the resources that we have.
Since the beginning of the calendar year, the percentage of the state experiencing extreme drought conditions has increased from 28% to 88%, according to a U.S. Drought Monitor report. In response to these worsening conditions, the governor has made a personal call to all Californians to cut their water usage by 20%. Additionally, the State Water Board has recently approved an emergency regulation mandating minimum actions to conserve water supplies, both for this year and into 2015. The water reduction effort at a state level has had local ramifications for West Marin. This is Krista Gabriel, the general manager of the North Marin Water District.
We expect that on April 1st, we will ask our customers for a 15% voluntary reduction in water use from the prior normal year. And that's kind of a precursor to a mandatory 25% reduction in water use beginning on July 1st.
North Marin Water District is not the only water district to have called for water usage reduction by West Marin residents. Stinson Beach County Water District, Bolinas Public Utility District, Inverness Public Utility District, and Marin Municipal Water District have all requested a 25% reduction in water usage for different periods of time throughout the last few months. Historically, West Marin households have responded well to these requests, and the last few months have proven no exception. However, there are some water users in West Marin, like restaurants, for whom cutting back on water usage presents a greater challenge. Curious as to how the drought-driven water reductions were affecting this specific demographic of the West Marin community, I took to the streets to find out.
We're doing the same thing that a household does, in the sense that, you know, you pull back on watering that's not vital.
You're now hearing from Margaret Grade, chef owner of the Siren Star at Alima.
A silly example is that if I were to pour you a glass of water because you were here in the parlor and had to wait or wanted to, when I took you to your table, I would leave that water in place and extend you fresh glasses, fresh water at table. I don't do that anymore. I always pick them up and take them over. I also don't feel as though the glass always has to be full.
Miles Peacock, front of house manager and butcher at Marin Sun Farms, shared that their restaurant has made a similar change.
We no longer serve water baseline. Now it has to be requested. That's a big one because a lot of people would just waste the water and we'd end up throwing it away.
The more I asked around, the more I began to notice a trend.
We don't offer water unless people ask for it.
We used to always give water to all our guests. Now water is upon request.
While water on request seems to have become the norm, some restaurants, like Marin Sun Farms, are taking further steps to cut back.
One of the things that we've been doing for the past few weeks is sharing soap buckets. So at the end of the day, when we have to scrub everything down, we'll take shifts of it. So one person will take the bucket, scrub everything that they need to get scrubbed down, and then we'll basically pass that bucket along. So instead of everyone getting like three buckets of water to scrub everything down simultaneously, we can save a little bit there. We have to do a lot of things where we have to, like for instance, slack out meat. If something's frozen, we have to submerge it in water. And the quickest way to do that if we're in a hurry is to run water over it. So unfortunately, we've been really trying to stop that. Every now and then, it kind of has to happen if we're in a rush. But recently, we've been really trying to make sure that if something has to be slacked out, we get it out first. And so we don't have to use any running water for it. We can just let it thaw out naturally.
In addition to drinking water, dishwashing stood out as another common concern among water-sensitive restaurateurs. This is Ashley Herman, office and general behind-the-scenes manager at the Farmhouse Restaurant in Alima.
We do things like pre-rinsing our dishes, soaking them and stuff so that the least amount of water has to be used in the dishwashing area.
Although many restaurants are doing what they can to reduce their water usage, some owners and managers pointed out that there are some factors beyond their control.
It can be difficult with restrooms and septic systems out here in the first place, so, you know, you want to be accommodating, but you also can't just, you know, be a visitor stop for everyone. A lot of bicyclists coming out here want to take, you know, all your water too, and you'll find them at the back hoses and everything.
Samuel Teamer, owner of the Breakers Cafe and Sand Dollar Restaurant in Stinson Beach, highlighted the unique challenge of operating a restaurant in such dry times.
The thing that gets us the most insofar as restaurants is that we're in the hospitality business, so it's kind of hard to turn people away and expect them to come back to us another day.
As everyone in West Marin buckles down during the drought, restaurants in particular are feeling the squeeze. This has been David Fox, reporting for KWMR, 89.9 Bolinas, 90.5 Point Reyes Station, and 92.3 San Geronimo Valley.